KNOM Update News. I'm Matthew Smith, and it's 9:02. A low front from Siberia is bringing strong winds, high waters, and rain to the Seward Peninsula and Norton Sound this weekend. Chris Clark is a meteorological technician with the National Weather Service in Nome.
We have a very large low-pressure system coming off of Siberia, and it should be coming over the Bering Sea and delivering some fairly high south winds, which is going to cause the surf to build up quite a bit.
Waves from the southern Seward Peninsula coast should build up to 6 feet, while water levels in the Norton Sound near Unalakleet and Shaktulik are expected to be about 8 feet above normal. Seas 8 feet high are also expected near St. Lawrence Island. In Unalakleet and Shaktulik, the high water could cause minor flooding, while the Nome Council Highway could see water spreading over the roadway. Near Kivalina, where heavy rains have already caused a delay to the school year and tightened drinking water supplies in the community, seas could jump by up to 4 feet, and that could further swell the already high Kivalina Lagoon. The highest seas are expected this morning through this afternoon, but with the high seas, there will also be rain. By Saturday, up to an inch of rain could fall, but Clark says Saturday morning might just see a brief reprieve.
Saturday looks like the best time for no rain and maybe seeing a little bit of sun. So if you're going to go pick berries, pick them then.
That window will be brief, Clark warns. Saturday is expected to cloud back up and continue with rain. The Weather Service expects the wind and the high water to subside by Saturday morning. A Navy SEAL that participated in the operation that killed Osama bin Laden has written a book due to be released in September, and the author has a link to Western Alaska. Dutton Publishing Company announced this week that they'll be releasing the book No Easy Day, a first-hand account of the mission that killed Osama bin Laden. It's written by a former Navy SEAL under the pseudonym Mark Owens. Yesterday, both National Public Radio and Fox News reported that Owens' real name is Matt Bissonnette. Greg Knight of the Wrangell Sentinel researched and has since confirmed that Bissonnette graduated from Antioch High School in 1994. He never lived in Wrangell, but his father was a magistrate there from 1998 through 2004. Most recently, Bissonnette lived in Virginia Beach. He was a member of SEAL Team 6, the group that carried out the operation against bin Laden, in May of 2011. In the summer of 2011, he was honorably separated from the SEALs. He did not retire. Bissonnette's book on the bin Laden raid is out on September 11th. KSTK's Amy Hillman in Wrangell reported that the book has not been vetted by any government officials. The CIA is not providing interviews about the book, but in a statement, CIA spokesperson Preston Goldson says that, quote, the CIA isn't offering any comment on the identity of the author. As far as we can determine, the book was not submitted for pre-publication review. A representative from Dutton Books would not confirm the author's real name and said the author's identity is being withheld for his personal security. Initial drill results from a graphite deposit being explored 40 miles north of Nome could prove to be one of the most significant graphite resources in the world. The Vancouver-based company Graphite One has been exploring the deposit near Imaruk Basin on the north flank of the Kigugliak Mountains. An agreement with the landowners, the Tweet family, to explore and document the resource was announced in January. After initial drilling was performed in early August, geologist Dean Besserer says it appears that flakes of high-grade graphite are dispersed through a nearly 10-mile-long corridor, and in the world of graphite, that makes it a big deposit.
We see extensive mineralization over a longer strike length, you know, up to 16 kilometers now. So that tells us, based on other deposits known in the world, that this one looks to be significantly larger.
Based on historical data, as well as this year's research, the company estimates the site could contain between 150 to 250 million tons of graphite-bearing rock. Just how much actual flake graphite that would yield after separation remains unclear. The company says they could take the deposit into full production itself, rather by itself, but it's still too early to tell how the resource will be extracted. Graphite One CEO Charles Chabris.
We're still early stages here. Looks positive, but we have a lot more work to do.
If and when production of the resource does begin, Besserer says that the open pit mining is the best way suited for this kind of resource. However, that kind of mining, he says, will be environmentally benign.
by and large, separating graphite from the rock is really a very simplistic process with a crushing and flotation circuit, so not using any harsh chemicals or cyanide or anything like that. It's more of a physical separation than a chemical separation.
CEO Charles Chabris says that graphite has seen a big increase in demand over the past few years, primarily as a component in the lithium-ion batteries found in everything from cars, cell phones, and laptops.
There's actually roughly 10 to 15 times more graphite in a lithium-ion battery than there is lithium.
Since June, Graphite One has had a camp of about 20 people on the Pilgrim Road running two drills alongside geologists doing mapping and sampling. In Nome, core samples are crushed and sent on to a lab in Canada. Besserer says that the team expects to end this year's program around mid-September with positive results from the sampling this season. He says he expects a larger operation for continued examination of the resource next year. U.S. Senator Mark Begich is expected to introduce legislation creating a national seafood marketing effort. The Democrat has announced a news conference for today, this afternoon, at Copper River Seafoods in Anchorage. His office says in a release that he'll talk about creating the seafood market, as well as discussing efforts to improve seafood quality and new product development. Earlier this summer, American Seafoods had to pay about $700,000 for Clean Air Act violations in the Bering Sea, and now the fishing company faces another big penalty. KUCB's Alexandra Gutierrez reports that the company is currently defending itself against charges of fish fraud. Jennifer Watson from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says measuring fish aboard a factory trawler isn't a simple task.
If you put a land scale out at sea, the motion of the vessel, or the motion in the ocean, would keep the scale from reading correctly, and you wouldn't be able to settle on a weight.
Watson says keeping track of all the fish that's caught and processed in the Bering Sea involves sensitive machinery that's recalibrated constantly. They can weigh up to thousands of pounds of fish every day. But even though this gear is sophisticated, it can still be manipulated, just like any scale on land can be tipped to bring its owner a little extra profit.
The perfect example would be the butcher weighing your meat and putting his thumb on the scale.
American Seafoods stands accused of committing the fisherman's equivalent of that offense. But instead of selling less for more, the company is charged with taking more fish than allowed. NOAA filed a notice against the company in January, alleging that in 2007 and 2008, its vessel, the American Dynasty, committed 39 violations of the Magnuson-Stevens Act. The charges range from falsifying scale tests reports to preventing an independent fisheries observer from doing her job. The agency proposes a penalty of $637,000 levied against American Seafoods, the American Dynasty, and its skipper, Ole Notton. The investigation was first reported by Wesley Loy on his Deck Boss blog. According to documents subsequently obtained by KUCB, NOAA alleges that the American Dynasty supplied inaccurate weight information for 65 of its 200 hauls during the 2007 Pollock A season. The documents also detail numerous instances of the American Dynasty's flow scale weighing anywhere from 7 to 70% light. That would allow the vessel to process more fish than federal regulations permit. And the American Seafoods attorney, Matthew Latimer, stated in an email that the company, quote, disputes the allegations and is, quote, vigorously defending itself in the matter. And the Alaska State Museum is seeking entries for its biennial exhibition of Alaskan photography. The museum says in a news release that its Alaska Positive series encourages photography as an art form throughout the state. The deadline for entries is September 22nd. The exhibition will be juried by Portland photographer Holly Andres. There will be a $300 Juror's Choice Award and two $150 awards of recognition. Other photos will be selected for honorable mention. The exhibit will be shown at the museum and will also tour the state. The competition is open to Alaska residents. And taking a look at the price of gold in New York this morning, gold prices were up 60 cents, trading at $1,672.70 an ounce. Silver was up 15 cents to $30.83 an ounce. The price of zinc was at 84 cents a pound. And Alaska Airlines Flight 151 appears to be delayed. It left Kotzebue around 9, is scheduled to leave Kotzebue, I should say, around 9:45, and is expected to arrive in Nome about an hour and a half late, around 10:31. The departure from Nome to Anchorage will be updated once the plane arrives in Nome. It's unofficially 48 degrees outside the KNOM station, 12 minutes past 9 o'clock.